And if you will please open your Bible with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This morning, as we continue our study through the gospel according to John, we're going to read verses 16 through 22. John chapter 16, beginning in verse number 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you for each and every person that's here, God. And I pray that you would help me by your Spirit today to be true to your word and to be true to the souls of each and every person here today. I pray, God, that our eyes, our ears, our hearts would be wide open to hear the message that you have for us today. To realize that you want to meet with us. Lord Jesus, you always told the truth, and you told us that when we assembled together in your name, that you would be in our midst, and we welcome you here today. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart, and that no one would leave this place today without having personally met with you and heard your voice through the scriptures and by your Spirit. And I pray that every one of us would go away from this place today helped through your word to take the next step toward you spiritually, whether that step be to be born again and enter into the kingdom of God, part of your family, or else as Christians, God, to take the next step toward spiritual maturity and just the next step along the path of faithfulness in serving you. You told us that if we'd ask, seek, and knock, we would receive, we would find, and the door would be opened. And you told us that you delight to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask, and Lord, we're asking for his help and ministry here today. Please do a work in our hearts, and may you receive all glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Most of us can probably remember at some time during our childhood, or maybe many times during our childhood, hearing a parent say to us, in a little while, maybe it was in answer to questions like, when will we be there? Or, when are we going to eat? Or, when will we get to open the presents? Or, when may I please clean my room? Well, we never heard that, right? In a little while. No. Didn't happen, did it? As parents, we may have given the same in a little while speech to our own children along the way. The words in a little while are indefinite. They do not refer to a specific, definite period of time. A little while could refer to a few minutes or hours, could refer to days, months, years, or even centuries in a little while. As we read our text this morning, you may have noticed that those words in a little while are repeated some seven times in these few verses. Anytime you find in Scripture words or a phrase repeated time and time again in one passage of Scripture, it indicates emphasis, that God really is focusing in on something and there's a specific message that he does not want us to miss. He wants us to get it. And so for our message this morning, we're going to explore this topic together, a little while, a little while. And we're going to see what Jesus meant by those words and consider how they apply to our lives today. What we learned this morning is going to encourage us as Christians to trust God's timing, to recognize that He is at work even in our times of sorrow, and to keep loving, trusting, and serving Him until our sorrow is turned to joy. And for anyone that's here that's never truly been born again, a little while will then behoove you to do business with God now, because ultimately all we know that we have is a little while. So this morning, as we look at this text of Scripture, let's note three different ideas seen in our text. We'll note, first of all, the expression. Secondly, the enigma. Thirdly, the explanation. So let's begin with the expression. Verse 16, Jesus said, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father." So as we've already mentioned, the expression, or the words, "a little while," are found some seven times in our text. The words "a little while" actually are translated from one word, one Greek word. It's the word "micron." Okay, it refers to a short span. Here it refers to a short span of time, a short distance of time. Jesus used this expression very often during his earthly ministry, and John recorded it throughout this book. In John chapter 7 and verse 33, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." Chapter 12, verse 35. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you." Chapter 13, verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you." John 14, 19. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." So Jesus used that word very often when he was speaking to his disciples. One thing that we might consider here is that Jesus using that expression, "a little while," is absolutely reasonable. Think with me just for a moment. To a person, to one who is eternal, to one whose circadian rhythm, whose time are set to eternity, the passing of earthly time and events must always seem but a little while. Do you realize that eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ, everything must have just seemed like a little while? I mean, he is eternal God. Psalm 90, verse 2. "Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Psalm 90 and verse 4. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." That's Jesus. He's God. He was in the beginning with God. He created all things. He's eternal. So most naturally, then, every bit of time, every passing of earthly events would just seem like a little while. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." In a little while. Now, as followers of Jesus, it's good for us to acknowledge and remember that God's timing is perfect, and that he is never in a rush, and that our times are in his hands. When God says to us, "in a little while," to us it may seem like a long while. And sometimes frustration comes into our lives when we expect God to work on our timetable, to work in what we think is a little while, not his. Phillips Brooks was a New England preacher. He was noted for his poise and quiet manner. At times, however, even Phillips Brooks suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor in his office like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Brooks?" he asked. "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And so often we are like that. Psalm 31 and verse 15 says, "My times are in thy hand." The God who says, "in a little while, just a little while." Our times are in God's hand, and we must be content to leave them there. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time," in his time. And to God, all of time is but a little while, and we've got to set our clock by his and not our own. Instead of becoming frustrated that God does not always work on our time, we need to focus on making the best of the time that he gives us. Now is the time to remember our Creator, to serve Him. In Psalm 90, the psalmist acknowledged that God is from everlasting to everlasting. 1,000 years is but as a day to Him, but not to us. And he says in Psalm 90 and verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:29, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, it remaineth that," and then he goes on to make application. You ought to live like you're not tied to this short time, understanding that time is short. It's just a little while that we have on this earth. Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." James said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into a city and buy and sell and get gain and continue there a year." He says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." A little while reminds us who understand that time is short, that we ought to be giving our lives to serving the Lord Jesus Christ now while we have the time. If you're here without Jesus Christ, Jesus' expression, "a little while," should challenge you to make peace with God now. The Lord says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." Our lives are but a little while. And when this life is over, there are no further opportunities to repent and make peace with God. Now's the time to trust in Jesus Christ. So there's the expression. Jesus says, "A little while and you'll see me again, a little while and you shall not see me, then you shall see me because I go to the Father." Verse 17 though. "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." So as those verses show, Jesus' expression, "a little while," was an enigma. That is, it was a mystery, it was a puzzle, it was a riddle to them. Though Jesus had used this expression often in speaking to the disciples, especially in recent times, they couldn't tell or they couldn't understand what he meant. What's he talking about, this "a little while"? And of course, those disciples were not alone, as there are times when we also have trouble interpreting Jesus' words, Jesus' works, and even God's timing. It seems but an enigma. And then thirdly, this morning, there is the explanation. And this is seen in verses 19 through 22. Now, Jesus knew that his disciples didn't understand what he had said to them. He knows all things. He knew they didn't get it. And so he patiently will explain to them what he meant. And in verses 20 through 22, Jesus explains that for a little while, his followers would weep and lament while the world rejoiced. But the disciples' sorrow would soon be turned to joy. It would be like the birth of a child, where the mother experiences sorrow or pain for a little while in the delivery. And yet as soon as the child is born, the mother no longer remembers her sorrow because of the great joy of her child being born. Jesus' disciples were going to have sorrow during the little while that they did not see him. But as soon as they saw him again, their hearts would rejoice and no one could steal that joy from them. So that's Jesus' basic explanation. You're going to have sorrow for a little while when you don't see me, but then you're going to see me again and you're going to have great joy. Now, Jesus did not explicitly state what event or what events he was referring to, but we can understand a couple of them. Okay, first of all, Jesus' explanation certainly applied to his approaching suffering when, as this woman is described, when her hours come. Jesus often referred to, well, mine hour is not yet come, but that hour was going to come when he would die for our sins. There was what but a little while until Jesus' crucifixion, burial in a borrowed tomb, and resurrection before he again appeared to his disciples. During the interim, the disciples would sorrow, while the Christ-hating world rejoiced. But the disciples' sorrow would be turned to joy when they saw Jesus once again. This, by the way, would be Jesus' own experience, because it would be for the joy that was set before him that Jesus would endure the sorrow and suffering and shame of the cross. There was a little while of sorrow, but then it was turned to joy in the resurrection. As one song put it, it was Friday, but Sunday was coming. There would be sorrow for a little while, but then there would be joy. And this is exactly what happened with the disciples. Luke 24, 17 gives us a simple illustration of this. This is Cleopas, and we believe his wife. They're walking home after the events of Jesus' crucifixion and the news of his resurrection, which they don't yet believe or know how to interpret. Jesus appears to them. They don't know who he is, but he says this, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" So that was the disciples during that period between Jesus' crucifixion and his appearing again to them in his resurrection. They had sorrow. They were sad. All their hopes were crushed. It was like clouds and darkness. But it was just a little while, just a few days, and then things changed. John 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side." Listen to this. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." So they were sad, and then they were glad when they saw the Lord. It was just a little while of sorrow before their sorrow was turned to joy, like a mother experiencing the joy of the birth of a child, having gone through the sorrow in the delivery, the process of bringing that child into the world. Now, on a broader scale, there was also a little while before Jesus ascended back to heaven, leaving his disciples on earth, and before he returns in power and glory to receive us unto himself. In the meantime, while we don't see Jesus, we have sorrow. We have suffering. But when we see him again, we will rejoice with great joy. It will be, as the songwriter put it, joy to the world. The Lord has come. James Smith said this, "These words may also be prophetic of the time when he will come again, taking to himself his right to rule and reign over this world for which he died. The church of God is now passing through its little while of sorrow. This is its time to weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. In the latter days, perilous times will come. But the church's hope lies in his promise, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. She, like a woman in travail, hath sorrow now. But when the man is born into the world, she shall remember no more her anguish for joy." And this is the picture that we're given over and over again in Scripture. We have just this little while of suffering, but when Jesus comes again, it will be a time of great rejoicing. Isaiah 66:5. Isaiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake." Remember, we read about that earlier in this chapter. Said, "Let the Lord be magnified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." Right now, Christians, followers of Jesus, are hated, even cast out for his sake, but he will one day appear to our joy. When we see him again, we will rejoice. Malachi chapter 4. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Hebrews 10:37, Paul said this, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." Just a little while, and Jesus is coming again. And then he challenges us with this thought, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." It'll only be a little while and Jesus will return to our joy. So the challenge then for us is to press on walking by faith. You can make it just a little while longer. You can press on. Peter said, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." And then he says this, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Just a little while. Sometimes it seems like a long time for us. God is waiting for sinners to repent. But when he comes, he will come suddenly, too swiftly for souls that have not yet repented to do so. And we're called then to be diligent, looking and waiting for him. But there's a change of roles here. Jesus describes his disciples' experience. They would have sorrow and then joy. They would weep and lament while the world rejoiced. He didn't mention it, but it's understood that there would be a reversal of these very things. Because the world that presently rejoices will weep and wail and mourn when Jesus comes again. Those who laugh first will cry last. Those who laugh and mock and reject Jesus Christ today will weep and wail and gnash their teeth, as Jesus describes, when he comes again. Those who mourn now will rejoice when he comes again. In Luke 6:25, Jesus said, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." Let me ask you, which group are you in this morning? You say, "Man, I'm living it up. I want my life right now. I want all the joy I can get. And I don't have time for religion. I want to live this little short life, this little blip of time for myself. And I'm not worried about all eternity." Or do you say, "I'll cherish the old rugged cross. And I'll bear the sorrow now. And one day I'll exchange that cross for a crown." Which group are you in? Do you laugh now and mock now? Or Jesus also said this, "Blessed are ye that mourn, for ye shall be comforted." There's coming a time when things will change. The roles in this world will be reversed. You've got a little while to make peace with God. You had better do it. Finally, Jesus' explanation of a little while also contains the life principle that there is but a little while when in the midst of our trials it seems that the Lord hides his face from us and we experience sorrow. But then the light of his countenance shines upon us once again and we rejoice. There is but a little while before the turning of the tide. That was true for Jesus' disciples' experience in his death and resurrection. But it's also true in our life experiences as we go through life. There are times when we go through suffering for a little while. It seems that our Savior hides his face, but then he shows his face again and we rejoice. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." One songwriter put it this way, "Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning." Isaiah 54:8 says, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Therefore, whether in reference to Jesus' return or to our own trials, his words about a little while encourage us as his followers to keep loving, trusting, and serving him, to keep walking by faith. We may be in the midst of sorrow and suffering now, but we know that in only a little while, we're going to see his face and our sorrow will be turned to joy. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that things can change, that you have power to change circumstances in our lives and we go through times of sorrow and it seems that your face is hidden from us, that as we continue on, Lord, in a little while, in your time and in your way, you change things. You cause your face to shine upon us once again. You turn our captivity and we're like those that dream. Lord, it's like a dream come true. Our mouths are filled with laughter once again. And I pray for those in our church family who have been going through trials, who may presently be going through a time of sorrow and darkness. I pray you'd give them encouragement to press on, to know that it is but a little while. You're going to bring them through this, establish, strengthen, and settle them. And Lord, in the grand scheme of things, as far as our lives are concerned in this world's history and what's going on, Lord, help us to realize that this is just that little while the world rejoices and your people experience sorrow in your absence. Help us, Lord, to press on faithfully, knowing that it is but a little while, and he that shall come, and will rejoice if we've been faithful and we've kept trusting you, kept walking by faith. Please help us, strengthen us in the days ahead, strengthen us this day. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? Are you 100% certain that if you died today, your soul would be taken to be with God in heaven? We sing the words this morning, when we all get to heaven, but that's not true for everyone here if you've not been born again. Have you come to the place where you recognize that you were a lost sinner headed for hell, that you could not do a single thing to earn God's favor or to save your soul, but that you turn from your sins and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord? You place your confidence in Him and Him alone for salvation. Have you done that? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, that's what I need to do. God has spoken to my heart, and today I'm going to make the decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ"? Is there anyone that would say, "Preacher, as best as I know how, I'm saying right here, right now, just as I am, Lord Jesus, please save me from my sins"? If that's your heart this morning, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, today I'm receiving Jesus Christ." Anyone at all? All right, Christian, are you trusting your times into God's hands? When God says to you, "In a little while," are you content to rest in that? Are you in the midst of a trial with great sorrow right now? Would you keep trusting, seeking the Lord in expectation that in His time, your sorrow will be turned to joy? And Christian, would you be faithful to keep walking by faith until you see the Lord face to face? It will be worth it all. And as Jesus described it, when the man is born into the world, we'll forget the sorrow no more. This sorrow, as Paul described it, will be but light, but for a moment. But the joy will be eternal. The glory will be everlasting. Are you willing to press on? Will you be faithful? How many this morning would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart, and by His grace, I'm going to be faithful. Though I may have to experience sorrow for a little time, for a little while, I'm willing to be faithful until I see Jesus face to face." If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, I'm going to press on." Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. I pray that you would strengthen us to be faithful, to walk by faith, to be content, to leave our times in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you please take your songbooks out and let's turn to hymn 149, number 149. Let's sing this song.